I want you to grab your Bibles if you have them. If not, scripture will be on the screen. Remain standing. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter number 68. 68. Over the past 5 years, specifically, Randy and Donella have been inspiration for me, and I know for many others. Because it's one thing to praise God when things are going right, when you're experiencing success, when you're on the mountaintop. It's a whole different situation when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, and when you're in the dark and lonely spot, when you're in the difficult situation. But then you can lift your hands and praise Him anyway. That speaks volumes. The Bible says our lives are written epistles, read and known before men. And what I've seen in Randy and Donella is how to be able to stare even death in the face and realize that God is good anyway, and that God works all things for our good. And so therefore, we're gonna praise Him anyway. Amen? Amen. Psalms chapter 68. Most believe that this was written by David as he was preparing to bring the Ark of the Covenant of God back to Jerusalem. It had been lost for about 20 plus years. His enemies had oppressed Israel, but now things are beginning to change. Let's pick it up with verse 1. Rise up, God, and scatter your enemies. Let those who hate God run for their lives. Blow them away like smoke. Melt them like wax in fire. Let the wicked perish in the presence of God. You see the sense of struggle and the battle and the what's going on in his life. And notice verse number 3, the shift. But let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Sing praises to God, to His name. Sing loud praises to Him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in His presence. Somebody say amen and rejoice in the Lord. Father God, help us to hear what you have, and may we learn how that no matter what we face, you're worthy of praise anyway. I thank you. You are good, even when life is not. May your Holy Spirit speak to us today in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. The question I have for you today is simply this. How can you praise God in the pain and with all your problems? The title of my message is Praise You Anyway. And I just want to thank Randy and his family who are here in this experience for allowing us the privilege and opportunity to be able to share their story. And I believe that it's been already an encouragement to many, but maybe now for many, many hundreds, if not thousands of more, they can grow stronger because of somebody's story. But if you are going to praise God through the pain and the problems of life, there must be a declaration on your heart that must be established early on before those dark times come. And that declaration is this: I refuse to let life make me unhappy. I will live my life with the inexpressible joy Jesus gives. Now, I want us to say that together. Okay, here we go. I refuse to let life make me unhappy. I will live my life with inexpressible joy Jesus gives. You see, your joy should not be defined by your feelings, by your failures, or your successes, but by your faith in God Almighty. You see, happiness comes from things that somebody or something can take away. Whereas joy is something nobody and no thing can take away. You see, one is temporary happiness. Joy is an eternal thing that cannot be taken away. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah says it this way, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is medicine to your body, mind, and soul. Proverbs 17, a cheerful heart is good, said with me, medicine. Scripture says that the joy of the Lord in you will positively impact those around you. In Acts chapter 16, there's a story of Paul and Silas, ministry partners together, going out and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. There's one specific girl, a young girl who was a slave girl that was using her spiritual powers to tell the fortune of people, and she was making a lot of money for her owners, but the demons were cast out of her, she was set free, her life has changed, and the people that she was helping line their pockets are not happy with it. And so they turn on Paul and Silas. They beat them, throw them in prison, chain them to a wall, and it says that at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas began to do what? When most people would have been staring their problems in the face and pouting, they weren't pouting, they started to praise God. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. And their joy inside of them began to positively impact those around them. It says that the jailhouse shook, they were set free. The jailer got saved, the people in the jail got saved, they were taken to his house in the middle of the night and their entire family got saved. You see, because when you learn to praise God, even in your problems, there are people watching and you're gonna impact their lives for the good and for the better. You see, people may even be the cause of your pain today, but people can also be the source of your joy today if you hang around the right people. So how can we experience the joy of the Lord? How can you begin to have this growing up and to the right encounter that transforms your life, that no circumstance and situation is gonna take away your joy inside of you? Let me give you some thoughts. First is you gotta experience salvation. And when you genuinely experience the salvation of Jesus Christ, it will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, joy comes from realizing what God has done for you. Now growing up, I gotta be honest with you. I look back into my life as I was, you know, a small kid and even teenage years and even going into my college years, I did not appreciate what my mama did for me. And I think all of us can probably say the same thing. And I look at my kids, they didn't appreciate what Shannon did for them. My grandkids aren't appreciating what, you know, mama is doing for them. It was not until I was on my own and I've got to actually wash my own clothes, clean my own stuff, cook my own meals, and there was no emotional, there was no support, there was no there for me. I began to open my eyes to all that my mama had done for me. You see, when you experience genuinely the salvation of Jesus Christ, your eyes are open to all that God has done for you. Psalm 68, verse 19 says, praise the Lord. Praise God, our, say it with me, Savior. For each day he carries us in his arms. Our God is a God who, say it with me, saves. The sovereign Lord rescues us from death. Psalm 70 says, but may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, let's say it with me, God is great. I loved in the video that you saw a little bit earlier that Lainey, as she began to enter the family, she had a platinum blonde mohawk that she says. She didn't fit in the family. She didn't meet the stereotype of what you would consider being in this family, but she made a statement that that Donella embraced her, that Donella loved her, that Donella welcomed her just as she was. And that is a wonderful thing that I applaud. But let me tell you, your God in heaven loves you like you are. And all of your brokenness and all of your bad decisions and all of your past stuff, no matter how you feel about yourself, my God loves you so much that he sent his son out of eternity into time to die for you, and that's something worth rejoicing about. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 3 says, with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of, say with me, salvation. In fact, in Luke chapter number 10, there's a story of Jesus sending out the 70 by twos, and he gives them power. They go out to preach the good news of Jesus, and he gives them power even over demons and to heal people. And they come back later, and it says that they were filled with such joy as they were like, yes, people were healed. The demons were subject to us, Lord, and we cast them out. And then Jesus pushes pause for just a moment. He says, that is good. But he said, that is something maybe to rejoice about, but I've got something better to rejoice about. Rejoice not because you have power over demons, but rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Come on, there is something more important, and that is our salvation. So salvation is the first rung of the ladder in regards to the joy of the Lord in your life. Second is the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures that are of God. Weston in the video mentioned that while his dad would take Aaron out for a Dancing with Daddy date, Mama realized that I'm gonna come up with something, and she came up with munchies and movies with Mommy, and they would spend time together. Let me tell you something. When we talk about here the Word of God and reading God's Word, it is not just for something to do. It is not just a religious to-do list to check the box. When you open this Word and you're setting down with the God of this universe who has written you a personal love letter, and he wants time with you. He wants you to spend time with him. You see, because there's some things that will come and go, and there's some things that will remain. And the Word says that heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will remain. You see, when your life is being shaken, those things will be shaken. But the Word of God is a foundation that will root you so that whatever's going on around you, you can stay strong in Christ Jesus. Hold on to the Word of God. Get the Word of God planted deeply inside of you. Psalm 68 and verse 11 says, the Lord gives the word, and a great army brings the good news. Psalms 119 says, as pressure and stress bear down on me. Hold that thought. Right now, there's people listening to me that stress and pressure is bearing down on you. Listen to the rest of it. I find, say it with me, joy in your commands, in your scriptures. You see, that you're asking God to do in your life might not happen in a day, but it will happen if you trust God daily and walk in his word. And when I talk about the Word of God, these are not just pages on a book, an ancient book that was written years ago. This was written over 1,500 years span by all different types of people. And you know what this speaks of? It speaks of a person, because the Word of God is somebody. John chapter number 1 and verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Who is this speaking of? It's speaking of Jesus Christ. When you pick up this, you are having communion with Jesus Christ and walking in fellowship with him. Behind me is a picture of a young lady named Sheila Wallace. Sheila Wallace has an unfathomable story of pain and suffering. Her biological parents abused her in ways that I cannot even fathom. It makes me want to vomit to think about. It's all she knew. But there were some relationships she had and connections with people in this church, and over time, she eventually showed up at church. And then over time of continuing hanging around, she gave her heart to Jesus Christ and got saved. And God transformed her life. The old was gone and the new had come. This past Wednesday, Shannon and I took her out to eat to celebrate her 3 years of sobriety from alcohol. She was 7 years of age when alcohol was beginning to be pushed down her body. 7 years of age. Hard drugs soon followed that, along with all the other types of horrible abuse. But God has been delivering her from drugs and from alcohol and from even, she even said, I don't even want to smoke anymore. And so she's been smoke free for 1 year now. Come on, my God is working in her life. But when her father died, she got a tattoo on both wrists. You'll see that in the picture. It says, "Remember Pigpen." And I asked her, what does Pigpen mean? It was a nickname they had given her father. And I said, why did y'all give him the nickname Pigpen? Because when he was in a drunken stupor, it was the nastiest hellhole, the dirtiest. It was like a pigpen. The things that he did and what happened. See, that when she was unsaved, actually, it was her way of actually punching him in the face by saying, I'm going to tattoo his name, Pigpen. Remember Pigpen. But as she comes to Christ, she begins to realize, I don't want to remember that. I want to remember what God did. And so this Tuesday before North School of Ministry, because she's in North School of Ministry now. Isn't that amazing? She went out right after work and got a tattoo over the tattoo. And this is the tattoo she has now, over the pig pen. It is a cross. And above it, there is the verse, and the verse is Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13. What does that say? Well, let's look at it. Here's what it says. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. No. I'm not going to remember pig pen. I'm going to remember the God of hope and the God of peace. Come on, that's what I'm going to remember when times are difficult in life. So salvation, scriptures, the next rung of that ladder is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. As I grew up, I remember having Christmas and looking forward to Christmas. You know what I wanted? I wanted the presents for me, right? Don't we? And your kids are the same way. But as I began to mature, as I began to develop, as I began to become an adult, really it was like, I don't need another present. You know what I wanted? The presence of people. I wanted to be with my parents. I wanted to be with my kids and my wife. I wanted to be with my grandkids. I want their presence with me more than presence. And as you begin to grow in your salvation and grow in the Word of God, the Spirit of God begins to grow inside of you, and you begin to realize that you want God's presence more than every gift that He has. Oh, the gifts of God are great, but His presence are better than anything else because it's something that the world can't give, and it's something that the world can't take away. Talking about the presence of God in your life. Psalm 16 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me, thus, set with me, joy of your presence. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is, say the first two with me, love, joy, joy, joy. Psalm chapter number 30 says, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with, say with me, joy. That I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I give you thanks forever. In the video of the Green family, Aaron made a statement that when I was stressed, when I was worried, when life was pressing down on me, I'd call mom and mom would say these words to me, Aaron, just breathe. Aaron, just breathe. Hang on a second. Have you ever done that with your kids? Just breathe. Now, there's a part of us that we've allowed Eastern religions who have used this breathing technique to steal from us what God actually gave us originally. Are you listening? Because when God made man out of the dust of the ground and he formed, he breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life. You know what he breathed in? Ruach. That is the presence. It's the Hebrew word for energy, breath, power, presence of God. And when you're going through difficulties of life, let me just challenge you, just stop right now. Just stop. When you begin to feel the pressure, you begin to get anxious, your nerves begin to get on edge, just stop and just begin to breathe in and suck in and realize I'm just now breathing in the very presence of an almighty God who is omnipresent, and I'm inviting him into the situation that I'm facing right at this moment. Breathe in the presence of God. The answer to your pain and problems is time in God's presence, and God's presence will fuel your joy. So salvation, scriptures, the Spirit of God, which brings me to the last one, singing to God with the saints of God. The first three are more about intake. Intaking salvation and receiving what's been given to you. Intaking the scriptures, hide the word of God in your heart that you will not sin against God and you can grow in the understanding of who God is. The Spirit of God, embracing and bringing in. But singing is about releasing to God. It's about giving back to God. I could put other things there, serving one another, but singing is my word of choice. And in Psalm 68, David is bringing back the Ark of the Covenant of God. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And as he's bringing back the Ark of the Covenant of God, the Bible says that they are gathered around with the instruments and they are playing, and David is doing what? He's dancing before the Lord with all of his might. I'm talking about singing. He is punching the devil in the face. Randy said, in those moments, I just had to give praise unto God, and it was my way of punching the devil in the face. There's nothing that the devil hates any more than when he seems to be getting the upper hand, that you realize, no, God has the end word, and he has the final say, and I'm gonna give praise to the God who is in control of everything, and that God will work everything for my good and his glory in due time, amen? So here's the challenge for you. The challenge for you is that each and every week when you show up here, get here early and get in place. Because here's the thing, you have 168 hours of a week, 168 hours. You know what you allot for church? Most of you, pretty much all of you, 1 hour. So why not take advantage of that 1 hour and make it the most that it possibly can be? You say, well, that's not my flavor. I don't like that style of music. I don't like this right here. Huh? I don't find anything in the Bible that talks about flavor. I don't care if it is a gospel-flavored song or if it is a country-flavored song or if it is a contemporary-flavored song. That Jesus said all this. He says, those that worship me in spirit and in truth. I'm gonna worship in spirit and in truth. And I understand excellence, and we want excellence around here, but it's not about flavors, it's not about modes. It's about the message of Jesus Christ coming through from the song. And I wanna position my heart so when I get here, my mind is ready, and I wanna use that 1 hour to receive from God what God wants to do in my heart and my life. Psalm 68 and verse number 32, notice what it says. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. And then that word interlude, what does that mean? It's basically just, that word means space. It means giving time. In other words, I want to challenge you is that when God does something inside of you and you feel a prompting of the Spirit, you feel a nudge, you feel, let it breathe. Walk away from an experience like this and go listen to the message again. Go listen to the worship again. Let it resonate inside of you and let it ring inside of you and let God do something deeply inside of you. Let the Spirit of God breathe in you. Breathe. Everybody right now, just take a big breath. And then breathe it out. Invite with every breath God's presence to do something powerful inside of you. Continue on, verse number 33. Sing to the one who rides across the ancient heavens, his mighty voice thundering from the sky. Tell everyone about God's power. His majesty shines down on Israel. His strength is mighty in the heavens. God is awesome in his sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. Let me read that one more time, and I want it to sink in. God is awesome in his sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. God is awesome. Everything seen and everything unseen has been created by him. My God is awesome in this place. Oh, come on, we got to realize. And here's the thing. We say that and we act like we believe that, but our actions and our feelings and life does not show that. We give more energy and passion to things that are temporary. Now, I am praying just like you that the Oklahoma City Thunder turn this thing around and come back. Okay? I'm with you. I'm with you. I get a little emotional in it too. But I refuse to let a bunch of 20-year-old something millionaires that dribble a basketball up and down a court affect my spiritual and my emotions in life. Come on, those things are fleeting and fading. I'm gonna look to the one who created everything. I'm looking to the one who flung the stars into outer space. I'm looking to one that can hold on to my future when nothing else can hold on to my future. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. God is awesome in this place. But notice, God is awesome. And you would think it stopped there, but it didn't. He wants you to know God is awesome in his sanctuary. Another translation says, you, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. What is a sanctuary? Have you ever heard, we have like animal sanctuaries? Anybody know what I'm talking about? What are those animal sanctuaries about? They're for wounded, abused animals or something. They're brought in, and what do? They give them a great environment so that they can heal, so that they can readjust, so that they can go back out into the wild. God is awesome in his sanctuary. What does that mean for me and you? It means that we all come with our woundedness. We all come with our brokenness. We gotta be here every week. You gotta show up every week because my God is a healing God. My God is a delivering God. And when you show up in your brokenness, God begins to heal our broken hearts, our wounded spirits, our emotions, our mental issues, and he begins to restore to us. Why? To send us back out in the wild to make a difference for the kingdom of God, because God is awesome in his sanctuary. No. I have a problem. I have a problem with a lot of the negativity against the church. And I'm not saying we all got it perfect, but we're just a bunch of imperfect people that serve in a perfect God. And we're coming together. But when people begin to talk about like example, money. Oh, the church is always asking for money. And I know there is probably some negative examples out there. But at this church, no one's ever twisted anybody's arm to give one penny. And then no one has ever been kept out of these doors that has never given. It doesn't matter what you've given. It doesn't matter if you've given the most or you've given the least, you're all gonna be treated the same in God's sight. Are you listening to me? But you try to go to Paycom Arena and try to get into a basketball game without a ticket. And then even if you've given some money, you gotta give a whole bunch of money to get down there close to the players. You gotta give a lot of money to sit in the nosebleeds. No, don't point your finger at the church. You can't go into any restaurant and say, I just want to eat and enjoy and walk away without pain. But you can do it in the house of God. You can pull up to the table of God and eat every week, and no one's going to hold anything against you because we want to invite all along the journey. And I'm thankful for those who understand that, and out of their generosity of their heart, they obey God and they respond to what God wants them to do in giving so that others can be blessed. But this church does not push. No. The church is unique, unlike any other place, unlike any other concert, any other like venue. You can come with your old, you can come with your young. You can come middle age, you can come rich, and you can come poor. You can come broken, and you can come having it together. You can come with different skin tones. It really doesn't matter. My God says, I just want praise in my sanctuary. Come on, somebody, give God a shout of praise. God is awesome in this house. God is awesome in the sanctuary. Give God praise because he is worthy of praise. Some of you need to get to your feet and say, God, I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going through a difficult time, but I'm going to praise you. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to give glory to you. I'm going to stand up and say, God, I give you praise because you are worthy. Oh, somebody lift your voice. Guthrie, Oklahoma City, stand to your feet. God is awesome in this place. Whew. I want you to grab communion. I want every man to look at me for just a moment. I know you're trying to get this ready, and just look at me for a moment. Men, I know it's Mother's Day, but it also should be a deep reminder of your spiritual responsibility to lead your family. And you say, well, I'm not married and single. Lead those that you live with, an apartment. Lead those that you go to work with. Lead those that you go to school with. Wherever you find yourself, manhood is not measured by an age or how many children you have. Manhood is a work of the heart. And God is looking for men with a heart after God. Assume your spiritual role and lead. And some of you, you don't know because you haven't had an example. You gotta be in God's word. And you gotta go find men that can help you walk that journey out and know what it looks like. Please be a man of God. This world has its image and its ideas of what a man is. That scripture has a different view of what a man is. A man protects the weak, is responsible for the female or parents or whoever it is. You got to be the man God has called you to be and wanting you to become. And women, let me just tell you, there's maybe some men that have brought pain and hurt in your life. I'm sorry for that. And maybe it's not a man, maybe it's others that brought pain and heartache and difficulty. And your joy has been taken away. Or has it? Was it really your happiness that was taken away? Because when you're rooted in the hope of your heavenly Father, there is nothing that can take away that joy. Hear me. Look to your heavenly Father. Who's the perfect example of what it means to treat a lady rightly? Look to your heavenly Father who loves perfectly, who embraces the widow, the orphan, the single, the broken, the wounded, and lean on him and let him provide the comfort that you need. You see, communion right now is all about that. It's about turning to Jesus and remembering. He was broken. Would you take this wafer that represents the body of Christ and break it in half? It was broken for you and me so that he could be touched by the feelings of your infirmity, your pain, your anguish, the junk that's been thrown your way. Now, would everybody take of the body of Christ? And the cup, which speaks to the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Do you realize every single person that has received Christ, and if you have not, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. What do you do next? You go public with what's happened privately inside of you. You baptism. That Jesus exampled it and Jesus commanded that for us. do it. Let us know. We want to celebrate with you. But every one of us are children of God. We are royalty. There is now no male nor female, slave or free, Gentile or Jew. We're all children of the living God. Amen. Amen. Would you now take of the blood of Jesus? Now listen, these altars are open and our prayer team is available at all locations. If you need joy, come. If you're going through a dark time, come. If you need healing in your body, come. If you need just direction from God, if you need to stand in for somebody else, don't sit there and let an opportunity to see a miracle of God go by. Flood these altars and come and receive hope. People are coming already. Father God, I pray now as we begin to respond to you that the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, will comfort us, strengthen us, give us what we need. God, we need your touch. We need your healing. We need your provision. We need your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.